Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. As always, happy to be along and especially happy to have you along as we are in the early days of what many consider to be the meteorological summer. There's some out there that feel summer begins June 1st and encompasses the months of June, July, and August. And well, if you've been outside lately, you can probably not disagree with those folks because we're getting some pretty seriously warm weather here after what's been a relatively cold spring, or colder than average spring. And some of the forecasts we've seen say that we're headed for more of that. We may even be into a heat wave by the early part of mid-June. So let's see how that plays out. Turkey season is over. It ended on a quiet note for this hunter. For the first time in many years, I did not put a tag on a turkey. Some of that's my own doing because I passed on some smaller jakes early in the season, holding out for a gobbler, knowing I was in an area that had gobblers. And, well, that gamble just didn't pay off this time around. And no frets. Hey, I had a good season, got to spend a lot of mornings out there. Never did get too many solid full days in just because of the schedule, but I was able to go several mornings before work. And again, I love seeing the sun come up and being out there that time of morning. And, you know, even though during the late season, a lot of people say, hey, go late in the day, late in the season, my work schedule just doesn't really afford that all the time. So just like anything else, the best time to go is when you can. We've got an interesting topic we want to talk about, at least for a good portion of this podcast, and that is the subject of ticks. We're going to be covering some of this in New York Outdoor News in the next two editions, actually. The June 12th edition should be hitting the newsstands early, right around the 8th or 9th of June, and then we'll also have something probably a little later on because there's quite a bit going on. Ticks are active this time of year, and I've got some history to share with you and also some more recent history to share with you when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we're going to talk about ticks. Not really my favorite subject, but given the circumstances of some recent events and also some history I have with these pesky little arachnids, well, we thought anything we can do to help people, one, prevent, you know, getting a tick on you, getting a tick bite, and just creating some awareness here about these things because, wow, I mean, growing up in the Northeast, I never experienced ticks. It just was not something that we encountered. I mean, and we had every bug under the scope that you could imagine here in the Adirondacks. I mean, the black flies right now are just pretty friendly in places, and that's the time of year for that, as well as mosquitoes, everything else. And again, depending on where you are, who knows what you have for bugs. But ticks, boy, you know, as they started to spread, with them came diseases. Of course, Lyme disease is the most known, but there's so many others out there, and that list is growing, and that's what we want to talk about a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about some prevention and again, some awareness. This past weekend, the weekend just ahead of when we're recording this podcast, this episode, my wife and I were camping at Louis Lake in the Central Adirondacks. Louis Lake is a nice little campground. It's located on the south end of Indian Lake, Hamilton County. And that might be a spot where people might say, hey, you know, I'm going to get away from the ticks up there. But let me tell you, my experience in the Adirondacks, especially in the last decade or so, is that that's not the case. I hunt in Warren County, the northern part of Warren County. And it's not uncommon on a warm day in November, and especially October, to look down and have a tick crawling on your leg or up your shirt or jacket or whatever it is you're wearing. And again, it's just something we all need to be aware of and be conscious of. So here we were, my wife, Adrian. Now, where we live in Washington County, we live on out in the country. And every day, Adrian goes for a walk, and she tucks her pant legs into her socks the way you should. Her pants are, and sneakers are treated with permethrin, which we'll talk about a little more later on. It's a spray that you can treat clothes with that you're going to wear outdoors. And she also puts a little extra spray on, and she goes for a walk. And this has been going on for years, and she's never, ever had a tick on her. So here we were up in Louis Lake. We had some nice weather. It wasn't warm by any standards. One day it never got out of the 50s. Pretty windy. But we went up, and the first morning that we were there after spending the night, she says to me, "What's this on my leg?" And I take a look at it, and sure enough, she's got a tick just starting to become embedded in her. So we got the tweezers out. I have a tick removal kit, but you think I could find it on the very first camping trip of the year? Well, not in this case, but, so we got the tweezers out. I pulled the tick, and it was a deer tick. That same day I took a drive down to the town of Speculator. I went down there to catch up on my email and do a few things for Outdoor News. They have Wi-Fi there at the library. While I was there, I called a family member who works in a doctor's office, spoke with them, spoke to a pharmacist, and arranged for Adrian to get doxycycline. It's the key antibiotic for most tick stuff, and we'll touch on that again shortly. And anyways, they said, you know, get her that within 72 hours, and she should be on her way with the treatment. Well, that was a relief, and we get home on Sunday morning, and I'm unpacking, and I actually went out for the last couple hours of turkey season. I come home, and she says, "What's this?" And she's got another one kind of on her back, just above her hip, and we pulled that one. So she is currently on a 30-day treatment of doxycycline, which is the real common, very most common treatment. Now, sometimes when you get bit by a tick, a doctor will give you two pills to take them within 72 hours of the bite. If you want to be persistent and try to prevent getting Lyme disease or other tick-borne diseases, which I can't pronounce, but they're not nice. Babsosis, I believe, is one. And alpha-gal syndrome is another, and we've got an article coming out about that. It comes from the Lone Star tick, a tick that has a white dot on it. But anyways, getting back to the treatment, don't be afraid to ask your doctor for a longer dosage. So many people are doing that now because it's a preventative, it's a cautionary measure. What to do about ticks, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But right now, the key thing I want to mention is that they're out there. This is a very busy time for ticks. I believe they're starting to breed. They're going through their cycle. I'm not a tick expert. I'm just someone who's had a few on them in the past and have dealt with Lyme disease. So it's all about prevention. This period, from spring, the minute the snow goes right up until the mid part of summer, it's not uncommon to deal with ticks. And we ran a story in the May 15th edition of New York Outdoor News. It was an Associated Press story about just how many doctor visits there seem to be this year. There's an increase throughout the Northeast, not just New York, everywhere around the Northeast. And of course, you know, tick-borne diseases, tick encounters, it's been spreading out of the Lyme area, Connecticut, for decades now. And it just seems like it's something we have to deal with. If you have pets, that's an entirely different story. I've heard stories of people picking 30 ticks off a pet as they come in from being outside. So it's just an ongoing thing. There's all kinds of advice out there for tick prevention, wearing bright colored clothes, like Adrian, tucking your socks in, and treating them with permethrin. Permethrin is a chemical, and I know some people don't like to use chemicals, but it is a chemical that you can spray your clothes with. Once it dries, it's odorless. You let them hang for about 4 hours, and then you can even cycle them through the wash a few times. I treat my archery hunting clothes every year just before deer season. I treat my turkey hunting clothes every year, and I also treat a couple pairs of pants and shirts and shoes that I wear outside, because the minute the snow goes in the spring, you know, one of my favorite things to do is play on my property. I should say work on my property. But I like to get out on the tractor and clean up any firewood that's laying around. There's always a project. You know, if you own property, you know it's never ending. So I treat these clothes. I wear them. I hang them outside. And then I wear them again. If you ever saw me when I'm wearing these clothes, you'd think I was, just some kind of careless person with my hygiene. That's not the case. But when it comes to tick prevention, you just can't be too cautious. And so if these things look all greasy and messy because I use them wearing a chainsaw or changing the oil in my tractor or working outside, then so be it. If it keeps the ticks away, I'm happy. So I treat them with permethrin. You can get that pretty much at any hardware store, any store that sells gardening supplies. Tractor Supply comes to mind. It's definitely a precautionary measure. And from my experience, it works most of the time. I'm not going to tell you that it works all the time, but from my experience, sitting on the ground, turkey hunting, probably 20 some odd days this past spring, that I know of, I did not have a tick on me. There's other sprays you can get, regular bug sprays. But the whole thing is, you know, checking yourself over, having somebody look you over. You just can't be too cautious. So that was the experience we just had. And that's some of the measures we took to hopefully prevent it from happening again. But it probably won't. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and coming at you with some tick talk, courtesy of some personal experiences. I'm going to take you back about 16 years ago to even later in the year than now. I said earlier how ticks are quite active this time of year, and well, I'm going to go back to July of 2010. I woke up one morning with very, very sore knees, very achy knees. And it wasn't like I had done anything for the days leading up to that. I'd just been working in an office at the time for 3 days. And I remember I had to travel out of town that day for a friend's funeral. And my knees were just sore. And by the end of the day, and this was like a 90-degree day, very hot, a few days after July 4th, really, really hot. And I was coming down with what I thought was a cold. I was shivering and stuffed up, sinuses and headaches and things like that. And just couldn't figure out what was going on. And this went on for a couple of days. And my wife, Adrian, went out and got me some cold medication. I started taking that. Felt a little bit better. And then a few days after that, I remember I was out mowing the lawn and I was wearing shorts. And I looked down at my legs and I had all these red blotches on my legs. It almost looked like I'd been wearing jeans with holes in them and had gotten sunburnt in, where the bare skin was. And she looked at me and she's like, "Well, you got them on your back, you got them on your shoulder." And I knew right away what my problem was. So off to the clinic I went, and long story short, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease. They took a blood sample, put me on doxycycline, the same medicine my wife is currently on, following her tick bites at Louis Lake Campground the last weekend in May. And I was on that for 3 weeks and spoke with a physician a couple of times and did some follow-up stuff on this for like 6 months. And I remember back then one of the things the physician told me is your symptoms will go away slowly and they won't be as intense. And he was 100% right. But other people haven't been so lucky. I have a friend whose wife has chronic Lyme. She can hardly consume anything other than eggs. She's very weak. She's been basically through a very, very rough time. And we all probably know somebody who says that. Now, the tick, when I got bit in 2010, I never knew I got bit. I never found a tick on me. It didn't happen. But when I look back, the days prior, we had a nice long, 3-day weekend for July 4th. And all I did was work outside. I mowed the grass and weed whacked and I probably cut some firewood. And I was doing things outside, not just on the lawn, but on the edge of the woods and things like that. Somewhere along the way, I picked up a tick, likely in a nip stage, which is very small. And it probably got somewhere where I didn't know and never knew it was on me. And I wound up getting Lyme disease. And once you have Lyme disease, you always have Lyme disease. And if you ask me, I think it's still with me. Of course it's still with me. But I think I still have flare-ups from time to time. I really can't say. My doctor can't say. But I'm going to tell you something about this since that time. One of the things that's changed in my life is I really cannot stand hot weather anymore. The minute it gets muggy and humid, and I know that happens to a lot of people with age, but it really seemed to happen to me right after this. The next year, I just all of a sudden was kind of sensitive to heat. And I just don't, to this day, I do not like the hotter weather. People say they're going to retire and go to Florida. I want to go to the Arctic. That's what I want to do. Not that I'm a winter lover. I just don't respond to the heat the way I did when I was a younger person. So that was the follow-up. So from that, I became very cautious of ticks. All the measures I just spoke about, I do, especially treating my clothes. And I know people are wary of using a chemical. I certainly understand that. But what's the alternative? Getting a chemical injected into your body by an arachnid the size of a pinhead. That's your other option. How can we not hope that there's some sort of cure for this and other tick-borne diseases down the road, like Rocky Mountain spotted fever? But still, no amount of caution escapes me from this. We just came back from a camping trip where Adrian got bit. Well, it was probably 7-8 years ago. I got a tick on me at another camping trip. A couple of days later, I come home and found a tick on me, and it had blown up and was all, it was gorged in and it was filled up with blood. Looks like a coffee bean. That's the best way to describe it. And, off to the doctor I went to get another treatment. And fortunately there was no further symptoms. I didn't develop any symptoms, but, 2 years ago, on the opening day of the northern zone deer season, I shot a pretty nice buck in Warren County. And handling the buck, field dressing it, I was cautious. I wear gloves. I was cautious of ticks. That wasn't the problem. But I'll tell you what was, when I skinned that deer a couple days later, it wound up getting warm. As you know, late October can be very warm. And if I recall, it was like temperatures in the high 60s. So we got after this deer and got it butchered, and I skinned the deer on a Monday, and on Tuesday evening, I found a tick on me. It was on my hip, just above the waistline. 2 days later, I found another one on my back, and this was all, I believe, from handling this deer, because that's the only thing that I could think of where I would have been exposed to ticks other than my time in the woods when I'm wearing clothes. So what do I do now? Well, I wear a long sleeve shirt when I skin a deer. I wear gloves, and that shirt, and sometimes the gloves are treated with permethrin. Again, it's a precautionary measure. It's not a guarantee, But as someone who has dealt with Lyme disease, I'm here to say you just don't want to deal with it. My symptoms, even in the weeks following after I started to receive treatment, I was still having headaches, especially in the back of my head, you know, near the cranium, near where the spine meets the skull. It was just headaches like I'd never had, not so much the intensity of them, but just like I'd never experienced before. And people I've talked with that have had Lyme disease, or, well, you always have it, express a number of different symptoms. It's unbelievable. So again, we want to take precautionary measures. We want you to do anything you can to keep ticks off you. And the main thing is be aware that they're there. Check your pets, check your children, check your loved ones, your spouses. Anytime you do something outside, and I'm getting ready to go on another camping trip, so I'm going to be tick conscious. Does it work every time? Unfortunately, no. But with a little bit of luck and a lot of care, hopefully it'll work all the time. We got a few more things we want to catch up on. That's enough of the tick discussion for now. Some happier topics when we come back right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit FamilyForestCarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we want to say congratulations to my buddy, Debbie Brosen of Kinderhook in Columbia County. Deb is our 2026 New York Outdoor News Person of the Year. And let me tell you something, folks. This award is well-deserved. Yes, I do know Deb very well, and I was very pleased to see the nominations. This is the second year in a row that we've probably had more nominations for the person that we've given the award to than I've ever seen. Last year it was Joe Rist, a fly fishing shop owner down in the Catskills who does a lot with veterans, and there was an outpouring of support for Joe, and there was an equal amount, if not more, for Deb. And there's a good reason for that. If you're not familiar with Deb, we've had her on the podcast here before. She's a very talented artist. She's the founder of Feather Art Studios. She's well known for painting on turkey feathers, but believe me, she can do just about anything when it comes to art. And the thing about it is she uses her talent to help other people. For years and years and years, she has donated prints to groups like the National Wild Turkey Federation, the New York or the Northeast Big Buck Club, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, so many to name, you know, Ducks Unlimited. I could keep going. Local gun clubs, county fishing game or county conservation councils and federations, youth programs that are in other states. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on and on and on. And this I knew, but as the support started to roll in for Deb, it was just, we weren't able to include everything in the article that we have about this in the upcoming edition when we announce this. It'll be in the June 12th issue of New York Outdoor News, a full page spread explaining the award and all the accolades that come Deb's way. I've known her for years. I met her at a sports show a number of years ago, and she became active with the New York State Outdoor Writers Association. In fact, she's the current president. But another group she's very involved with is the New York State Outdoorsman Hall of Fame. I've got a little bit to talk about that shortly. And also becoming an outdoors woman. Deb went to the workshop that they have every year, sometimes in Warren County and other places like Greek Peak in Cortland County, and they move this around in New York. Great program. Spends a whole weekend teaching women all kinds of outdoor skills, everything from firearms to trapping and anything you can think of, a lot of archery, cooking, kayaking, fly fishing, you name it. She went with her sister, and they literally got hooked on it to the point where now they volunteer to help out every year. So they show up and help with registration. Just a prime example of some of the things that Deb's involved with. And once again, I just want to congratulate her on winning this award, and we're very proud of her. I was able to present this award to her at the banquet of the New York State Outdoorsman Hall of Fame. And the reason I was there, and I'm humble about this, is because I was inducted this year. And for that, I'm very grateful. I'll be honest with you, I'm not an awards person. I don't really care about winning awards. I do send some stuff into our outdoor writers group and won a few photography awards this year. And that's probably just because a couple of the guys who are professionals didn't enter, and it gave the rest of us a chance. But I was humbled by this, and I appreciate the folks who nominated me and who have supported me through the years and welcomed me to this wonderful fraternity of people. As someone who works in the outdoor industry, it's just a wonderful group of people. And I found this out the more I got involved. 20 years ago or so, I became active with the New York State Outdoor Writers Association, began attending meetings and events and even hosting some. And what became so much fun about it was the people, just these great people that you see only a couple of times a year. And they do so much. It's amazing how much volunteerism goes on at the professional level. All these people may work in the industry, but they put in a lot more than they take, I can tell you that. And thank God we have them. That's why we have youth programs and outreach and things of that nature that help people learn outdoor skills. So again, I'm very grateful to be a member of the New York State Outdoorsman Hall of Fame. I'll have a plaque with my name on it at the Wildlife Sports Educational Museum, which is a great place to go to, by the way. That's in Vail Mills in Fulton County. If you've never been there, it's really impressive. It's really something to see. Put that on your list of destinations. But I just wanted to mention a few things about those awards. And once again, congratulate Deb on being the New York Outdoor News Person of the Year. Hey, we're going to say goodbye. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and mainly that you took something from it today regarding our discussion on ticks, because it's really important. We want you to be safe out there and try and avoid them at all costs. Here's hoping you got a big fish in your net and a big buck on your meat pole. For New York Outdoor News and the Great Northeast Podcast, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.